good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, January 28th, 2022. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you.
Well, won't you stay warm? I know y'all supposed to get a little bit of snow up our way pretty soon.
Ooh, I get to make my snowman of the year.
Oh, boy. Go out and stuff the snow and play in the snow. Whoopee.
Woo-hoo. Can't wait. It'll be gone Sunday. We're supposed to have temperatures, you know, we're supposed to have high winds, so it'll blur, you know, it'll blow it all around. But I think, at least it'll be gone by Thursday. We have temperatures in the 50s. So.
Yeah, they're calling 65 down here Thursday. I thought, what?
Yeah, I know.
My gosh, 65. That's going to feel like summertime after this last couple weeks.
Well, you know, it's all that climate change.
I guess. Okay. Well, if it gets warm enough, I'll start planting palm trees.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds great. You'll be the first one in West Virginia to have palm trees.
That's exactly right. Have my own coconuts. Okay.
And right now, never mind.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I better get to the market.
Okay.
I better get to the gold prices today. Again, pressure on gold, but it's back from the low. By $10. Down 7 in the New York spot price aftermarket, $1,790. Silver was down 34 cents at 22.48. Platinum was down 13 at 1,017. Palladium was up 4, 2,462. Crude oil today was up 60 cents at 87.22. I mean, if you call this pressure, down 0.02 for the dollar at 97. 0.22. So the dollar's just been going crazy. With the thought or with the commitment of raising rates come this March. So that's what we saw. Stock market, the paper markets, it truly is amazing what they do. I applaud them for their ability to do what they do. The Dow was up 564 points, 34,725. The S&P was up 105, 4,431. The NASDAQ, unbelievable, up 417, 13,770. It's just, it was interesting. I heard Jim Cramer say earlier today, he says he just wants one day where nobody comes in and rescues the markets. That's what he said.
Well, that could be disastrous.
Because he's trying to find a bottom.
That could be disastrous.
Yeah. And but he's looking for a bottom. You can't have a bottom until, he says, Asian markets, they were mixed. European markets were all negative. 10-year yield, 1.79%. So that's really not moving a whole lot there. Just hanging right in there around that 180 level. And there was a couple of reports that were out today. I don't know if you have any of them, but the Fed's inflation gauge rose 4.9% from a year ago. Doesn't mean anything. Dow's up 500 points. NASDAQ up 4% almost. The core personal consumption expenditures price index. This is the gauge that's closely watched. The inflation gauge rose 4.9%. And that was the fastest gain since 1983. It was above the estimates from Wall Street. Employment costs increased 4% from a year ago. And that's the fastest in the 20-year data history. So, though the quarterly rise at 1% was less than expected. So, this isn't going away any time soon. And it's just, let's see what else it has to say in this report. The core personal consumption expenditures price index, excluding food and energy, was slightly more than 4.8%. So, again, it's just more reports that almost every day there's no meaning behind them. Sometimes I wonder why we even bother, but a lot of people make decisions on these reports, and that's why we do. And we try to tell you and give you reasons why they're not real. They pretty much open up a bag and pull it out of their hats, Butch. That's what I believe. And
well, I was going to say what you just said. I wonder why sometimes about them talking about them, because they do with them as they want. They have been for many, many years. And it's amazing to me that how gold and silver keep struggling, you know, up over 18 and back down to 17 and back up to 18, 15, back down to 17. I mean, it's amazing how they control every aspect of finances in this country and probably around the world, a lot of them. But gold, if gold were where it ought to be, that would be at least $5,000-$6,000 an ounce right now. Silver should be up near 100 if it's where it was supposed to be. But they keep controlling these things, and I don't know how to do it. But I'm like you, I have to give them a problem for it, because they keep pulling rabbit out of the hat every day, don't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about gasoline prices. We talk about, food prices and everything. The U.S. natural gas futures suddenly spiked the most on record yesterday afternoon.
Yep, they sure did.
And the dramatic move that signaled bearish wagers being squeezed out of the market. The eye-popping surge of as much as 72% came ahead of the expiration of the February contract, which was thinly traded as weather forecasts turned colder. A spokesperson for CME Group confirmed the price jumped the most since the contract launched in 1990. Coming to a town near you.
You know,
higher prices.
You just took a part of my first article there about the 72% overnight spike. Of course, it receded, but there's an article by Rabobank entitled Prepare for Impact. I'm not going to take time to get into it, but it mentioned that fact about the natural gas prices, and they have certainly increased from last year. But it says Prepare for Impact. I don't know if these people know what they're talking about or just trying to scare people. I don't know, but I put my bet on the fact that we are going to be prepared for impact. Who knows what could happen next? I don't care how much they control things. Eventually, this has got to blow like a gusher in an oil well somewhere. It's got to blow. And Rabobank says prepare for impact. So we'll see what happens. It's just coming together day by day, and it keeps squashing it. It's like trying to keep squeezing, I don't know, something like dough back into a small can and keeps popping back out. It's going to come out one day and they can't get it back in. You know that.
Are you saying that to me?
Yes, ma'am. No, I'm saying to everybody, yes, if everybody's listening. But yeah, yeah, I am.
Yes, I do know that. And, I guess people get, I wish we could bring them something a little different other than eventually it's going to happen. But the writing's on the wall. I mean, you have to be, I don't know where you'd have to be in order not to see it.
It's happening.
It's just
incremental steps. You know, I keep saying it's like cancer. Cancer doesn't kill you all once. You might live with it for years.
Yeah.
And finally, it will take its toll, but it'll creep up on you. Every day you'll see new symptoms maybe or other situations. Well, that's the same thing. We're seeing new symptoms every day. It's a worldwide phenomenon, not just here. We're seeing new symptoms every day, and inflation certainly is a symptom of a financial system that's in trouble. And what they say our inflation is at least three times lower than what it ought to be, what they ought to be saying. We also know that. So, it's almost painful to watch such a gradual kill of the economy, but they've been doing it for years.
So, I don't know if there was any other, that was pretty much it for the day. Of course, all eyes were on the storm, and everybody's focused on the weather. And
yeah, we'll give them that, too. That's coming.
Yeah.
That's coming. But I know that Bloomberg said U.S. consumer spending drops with inflation hitting 40-year high.
Sure.
So U.S. inflation-adjusted consumer spending fell last month by the most since February, suggesting that Americans tempered their outlays amid the COVID-19 wave and the fastest inflation in 40 years. Purchase of goods and services adjusted for change in prices decreased 1% in November, the Commerce Department said Friday. You have to adjust. It's not something like you have a choice in. If your money's getting low, you have to adjust. You know, we can't print more money like the Fed does. We just can't print it and spend it. We have to adjust. So it's not a matter. People act like it's a big shocker that people are not spending as much. If you don't have it, you can't spend it. Unless you're a federal government, then you can do what you want. But people, just like you and I, Melody, we probably have to cut some corners. I know the expenses go up here, and I got to be more careful how I spend money. We don't not eat out as often because of prices. So, yeah, that makes common sense. If prices go too high, my money starts running out, I don't buy what I used to buy. In a common sense.
Few people have common sense, though. But, yes, it is common sense.
I don't understand why they make such a big deal out of it, like what's a shocker. People aren't buying as much. Well, goodness gracious.
I know.
Yeah.
Golly.
Golly, yeah. It just doesn't, you know, it's, I read these articles, and they're serious, and they really act like they're concerned, but what's the surprise here? What did you expect them to do? They can't afford to pay the power bill. They're not going to eat out. I mean, that makes sense to me. It's just absolutely ridiculous how they talk about these things. But you mentioned a storm. Go ahead.
Plus not only that, I saw a report on restaurants that with these mandates in your cities like New York and D.C., their business is dropping.
Well, yes.
Because with the mandate, supposedly you have to have your vaccination card to go into a restaurant, and people aren't making the reservations. They're not going. And these restaurants, I mean, they're beginning to hurt all over again. I mean, I'm talking like their business is down like 50%, 60%. That's
absolutely
a lot.
Absolutely.
Just because of the mandates. So.
And you have to wonder, is there actually a motive behind it to destroy these businesses? Why are they doing it? I shared this, I think, on Wednesday's program in Quebec, Canada. If you go into a Costco or a Walmart store, and you go into, you want to buy groceries or food, groceries or medicine, now this is really happening in Quebec. You have to be escorted by an employee to make sure that you don't get out of line and buy something that you're not supposed to buy. They follow you along if you're not vaccinated. Now, this is for the unvaxxed. So if you're going to the store to buy medicine, they make sure that you just go and buy medicine. If you're going to buy food, you buy food. You're not allowed to leave those parts of the store where you might buy a pair of shoes or a coat or whatever. You can't do that. You have to stick to food and medicine. Now, how's that for walking in a free society?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. And somebody has to sit back and think of these things. Who in the world has time to sit back and think all this nonsense? Obviously, somebody's thinking of it because they're doing it. You know, but it's just unbelievable. Hmm. And you're talking about this storm coming up, and I guess that's it's going to come up near you. But it says natural gas stores, that's 45 million Americans face winter storm threat.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what's going to turn out to be, but according to this article, it says a powerful nor'easter has put 45 million Americans under winter storm watches and warnings Friday into Saturday from the Carolinas to the northeastern Maine. The prospects of the storm and cold weather have sent U.S. natural gas futures soaring Friday morning. The National Weather Service warned about a powerful nor'easter is expected to develop off the mid-Atlantic coastline on Friday before impacting eastern parts of the northeast and New England this weekend. Heavy snow is expected across eastern Long Island, New England, with the gusty winds that could produce blizzard conditions. AccuWeather meteorologists believe the storm will strengthen to a bomb cyclone. A weather pattern we noted on Wednesday that they had a very strong possibility of playing out across the northeast late Friday and Saturday. As early as Monday, we told readers, multiple meteorologists sounded alarm on the possible development of the weekend storm. Now it appears the storm could dump as much as 36 inches in parts of Long Island and pummel Wantagh to West Hampton with 12 to 18 inches. New York City is on the edge of the storm and could receive 6 inches or fewer. Saturday, snowfall rates per hour at the height of the storm could exceed 3 to 4 inches per hour in eastern Massachusetts. The latest snowfall total project map shows coastal areas will receive the heaviest snow. NWS Boston points at the exact storm track has yet to be determined, which means if the storm travels closer to the coast, its heaviest snowfall could occur more inland. A cold front expected to pour into the East Coast. We noted parts of South Florida now, folks, are bracing for a rare freeze that could damage citrus crops on Saturday morning. I mean, South Florida. We're talking about down near the Keys. U.S. natural gas futures have risen for the sixth day ahead on prospects of winter storm and colder weather. Futures for March deliveries were up from 13% to 13%. So that's a huge increase in my mind. I mean, somebody would pay another 13% for heat in a house. And this is the bomb cyclone. And it is a bad storm. But many, many, many times here where I live, we've had storms overnight that's dropped up to 15 to 20 inches, and it's just part of living here where we live, and we've had worse than that, so I guess it's going to be nasty, but the snow, 18-inch snow, 36-inch snow is getting pretty serious. 18-inch snow, you can survive that, but whatever it is, I guess it's going to be, they said it could be the worst snow in Boston's history. We will see.
I know we're located in the blizzard section, or the purple section. And so we can get anywhere from 8+ inches of snow. Most of the reports are 12 foot of snow here, but I hope we don't get 30.
Inches, not 12 foot, right?
Right.
You said 12
foot. Did I say foot?
Yeah. You get that much, I ain't coming to see you. But
that's not livable either.
No, it's not. It's not. But
an inch a foot, whatever.
How do people handle snow in your area? Do you get it very often? Are they used to it?
Oh, my gosh. You'd think it's the end of the world.
Really?
We can get 5 inches of snow, and the city will turn it into an emergency.
Wow.
Where everybody has to stay home.
And you're in a coast of Maryland. You would think that would be nothing to y'all.
Well, we just don't get snow.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's amazing.
Nobody knows how to drive in it.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what to do in it. And what you do is you just stay in the house and watch it snow, and when it's over, you go out and shovel.
You stay inside and stay safe and warm. As long as the power's on, you got it made, you know, and you should have
that. Well, it's the heavy winds that are dangerous. It's the heavy winds, and that's because that the heavy winds, you never know what to expect. But this is supposed to be, because it's so cold, a very light and fluffy snow, so there'll be major drifts. So we'll have lots of drifts that, you know, will be 3-4 foot drifts, 6 foot drifts.
Okay.
Anyway, I hear the music.
Yes.
We'll be right back right after this break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Sing it, Melody.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. We were getting a couple chuckles during the break. And Butch, this is from your state, West Virginia. And your governor, Jim Justice,
yes,
had a message for Bette Midler. And people remember, or the listeners who don't, said some nasty things about West Virginians. She called West Virginians poor, illiterate, and strung out in a tweet after Senator Joe Manchin refused to support Joe Biden's Build Back Better Act. So, your governor, who's 70 years old, he's a Republican governor. He ended his televised state address yesterday, or last night. He has an English bulldog, and he lifted up his English bulldog, flashing its rear end to the cameras and crowd, and said, "Baby dog," that's the name of his dog, "Baby dog tells Bette Midler and all of those out there, kiss her hiney." He said, grinning, as people applauded and some gave him a standing ovation.
I totally agree with that. I'm not keen on Justice. He was a Democrat, by the way, when getting off. He ran as Democrat and changed Republican when he's in office. I'm not keen on a lot of things he's done, but
I'm not a fan of him.
I applaud him on that. Good for him. Good for him.
Baby dog, kiss their butts.
I mean, it's showing disdain for that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Showing some disdain for people that are that ignorant and that biased. I mean, bless his heart. I have to give him credit for that. I should write him a letter thanking for it.
But, you really should, you know. And it's amazing. I didn't see it reported on any news station today. But, it's how do they get away with it? You know, with Hillary calling deplorables conservatives, Obama, Bible thumper, or gun-toting Bible readers, or whatever. It's like, how can they get away with it?
And well, if we said like about them, they would call us racist and bigots and everything else. You know that, yes.
And Biden, who wants to appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court. How racist is that?
They're talking not about based on any... Harris, maybe. Harris. Vice President Harris. They've discussed that, being the next Supreme Court justice.
So, I mean, it's just...
If the good people are the good people, but the Supreme Court doesn't have a whole lot of good people in it, it hadn't been a long time, nonetheless... What if we
it should
we
be
say,
based well, on their accomplishments and their ability to decipher
exactly.
or know what the Constitution of the United States is.
They
not on anything
it.
Else.
I don't
care what color
it.
You are.
No, but if we said that we were going to appoint a Christian, strong Christian, conservative white man to the Supreme Court, what would they call us?
Look what they did to Barrett.
Yeah, exactly. But he says he's going to make sure that it's a woman and a caller, and not. Fine, if they qualify, but I can't think of anybody that really qualifies in my mind right now out of any politician today. But we'll see.
But if you look at some of those women and their histories of what they support and so forth, it's less. Oh my gosh, who are these people?
Well, Supreme
Where do
Court
they come from?
That's exactly right. And the Supreme Court lost its ideal as far as opponent of the Constitution long before you and I were born. They started going on their own belief system. They started, voting and judging on their own ideology, their own philosophy of life, which your philosophy of life is your religion. You can call it whatever you want to, Christianity, humanism, or anything you want to. What you believe, what you live by is your religion. So so the Constitution has very little to do with it any longer. It has to do with what they want to think it says so they can change to fit their idea of their philosophy of life. That's what it's all about. It isn't supposed to be that way. Maybe they'll say this, and we'll shut up about this, but it's impossible for anybody. I don't care if you're a judge. I don't care if you're a lawyer. I don't care who you are. I don't care, politician. You cannot get away from your convictions, whether they're right or wrong. That's what you live by. You can't divorce yourself from your philosophy. It's impossible. You can't do it. In most cases, you're going to go in the direction that you think is right. And that's just the way it is, folks. And we have a nation full of multicultural ideas today, and the Supreme Court has been packed with humanists for years. So, they're going to uphold what they want to uphold and what they think and their way of thinking is right to do. Forget the Constitution; it's what they believe is right. And that's just the way it is. So, anyway, I'll be quiet right now. I feel better.
Good. It's Friday.
And I guess you heard what's going on in Canada, and I applaud the Canadians for this. 11,000 truck, 93-mile-long Freedom Convoy protests Canada's vaccine mandate as government digs in its heels. Isn't that amazing? 11,000 trucks, 93-mile-long Freedom Convoy. As the Freedom Convoy truckers protesting Canada's vaccine mandates rolls through the southeast Alberta, Canadian government officials reiterated support for the policy that requires Canadians and U.S. truckers to show proof of vaccination in order to cross the border. As a Freedom Convoy of truckers protesting Canada's vaccine mandates rolls through the southeast Alberta, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau Monday slammed conservative politicians, accused them of fear-mongering. I regret that the Conservative Party and conservative politicians are fear-mongering to Canadians about the supply chain, but the reality is that vaccinations is how we're going to get through this, Trudeau told reporters who asked if the mandate policy could disrupt supply chains. The 11,000 truck, 93-mile long convoy is traveling from the country's westernmost province, British Columbia, toward Ottawa, the country's capital, where they will hold a demonstration on January 29th. The truckers said they will not leave until the mandates are lifted. We will see on that. The Toronto Star reported that the convoy drew large crowds of supporters from across the region, many holding signs and waving flags. Well, my broadcast is coming Tuesday night, about 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. I have a pastor I've had on my program before, Dr. Pulaski, who was arrested, has been arrested several times, charged with many charges, because he wouldn't close his church down because of the pandemic. He kept on having church. He kept feeding people in the streets. He was arrested about a month ago. Feeding people and the hungry people in the streets for, I can't remember the exact charges, but he's feeding food that wasn't approved or something. I don't know what it was. But he's put in jail for that. He's been in jail. He's got charges pending. I said, we're not cowtown to something like this. We're told by God to spread the gospel. We're told God to feed the poor. We don't follow man's dictates. We're following God's dictates. So we have been in the program Tuesday night to share his whole story. But this is what Trudeau went on to say. Trudeau calls trucker convoy fringe minority, announces he's isolating for protest weekend. I don't understand what he says he's isolating for, but anyway. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has labeled the anti-mandatory vaccination trucker convoy heading to Ottawa this weekend as a fringe minority with unacceptable views. Pay attention, folks. Unacceptable views. Our views are unacceptable. So what you going to do about it, buddy? It's unacceptable anyway. Prime Minister Trudeau commented on the anti-vaccine truck convoy known as the Freedom Convoy at a press conference on Wednesday evening, saying the small fringe minority of people who are on their way to Ottawa who are holding unacceptable views that they are expressing do not represent the views of Canadians. Canadians who have been here there for each other, who know that following the science and stepping up to protect each other is the best way to continue to ensure our freedoms, our rights, our values as a country, Prime Minister Trudeau added. Broadcaster Global News reports. Trudeau has previously stated his dislike for the unvaccinated, telling a Canadian French language television program they don't believe in science, progress, and are very often racist and a very small group of people, but doesn't shy away from the fact that they take up some space. How'd they go from being someone protesting vaccines being racist? I don't get the connection. Maybe I'm just ignorant. This leads us as a leader, as a country, now pay attention because it's important, to make a choice. Do we tolerate these people? What? What are you going to do, shoot them all? What do you mean going to tolerate them? Over 80% of the population of Quebec have done their duty beginning the shot. They're obviously not the issue in this situation, he added. So they say their views are unacceptable. They're unacceptable, Melody. Their views are unacceptable. Because they're taking a protest, they're racist. And we shouldn't tolerate them. Isn't that rather harsh language? To say to any group that thinks they're doing what's right in their own minds and understanding for liberty, especially one who's got a 90-something mile long truck combo going on the highway, drawing thousands of people into with them to agree with them. They're a fringe minority, and they're probably misogynic and racist, and we can't accept their views, and we shouldn't tolerate them. Now, isn't that really strong talk?
Yeah, not tolerate them. It's, I don't know, Butch.
You know, go ahead.
Where's the folks on the other, you know, kudos for them doing for what they're doing.
Oh, really? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me angry. Like, they're not going to tolerate you and I because we don't agree with them. You better go, everybody, because I don't like you either. I don't want to tolerate you. So what are you going to do? Take us out and line us up and shoot us? You going to declare war on us? What are you going to do about it? Here they are. We're going to stay to get some answers here. This is either going to be, the other side is going to back up. One side is going to back up. And either it's going to blow up, one or the other. One of the other sides are going to back up and go back into the cage, or there's going to be a war. You can't go on like this. And you can't have leaders of nations talking like this by people, just because they disagree, they're racist. That makes people even madder in my mind. Does me. And we're not going to tolerate the views or tolerate them. That is absolutely unheard of, unthinkable, and unacceptable. Do you agree?
I agree.
See, you got me started again. But anyway. But that's dangerous
Let her
talk.
Let her rip,
that's,
Butch.
That's dangerous talk. That's
it is very dangerous
talk. You know what? I mean, for justice to tell Bette Miller to kiss his dog rear end, that's one thing. But, you know, to come on like this to people that are just standing for what they believe is right, and their minds are right, and I'm convinced they're right, that you're going to cut off the food supply chain across borders because of this, and he's calling them racist over that? Somebody connect the dots to me here.
And you know what? The problem is when their side decides to do things, we're supposed to accept
right
what they do. I mean, we have to learn to accept. You know, just because somebody does disagree with us, but to start calling people names and doing these things and threats and so forth, it's there's such division in everything anymore, and it's I don't know how they can get away with it. But where is anybody there saying the things that you've just said?
I don't know. You would think of at least somewhat well-known politician in Canada or somewhere that would stand
you
up,
think.
People would recognize and say these things.
You think?
I don't
politicians
know.
Don't stand up for us anymore, do they?
But it makes me angry that because I disagree with them on a vaccine, I'm a racist. Mm-hmm. How in the heck did they get that connection? Oh, well.
I don't know.
I better move on or I'll start preaching here in a minute. But anyway, it makes me angry. It really does. And different topic and move on from that. More people died in Michigan this year, or in 2020, Melody, than were born. That could mean future economic problems. Well, yeah, duh. I mean, we wonder why Social Security system is going broke. We invert a 75 million babies in this country that could be producing for that. Yeah, it can mean a future problem, yes. More people die in Michigan in 2020 than were born, according to state records. The first time that's happened since at least 1900. Michigan is in the first state where that's happened, and it won't be the last. The national birth has been falling for years, but experts say that if Michigan can't start bringing in more immigrants, and there's the answer, folks, bringing more immigrants, and attracting residents from other states the way that places like Texas, Colorado, North Carolina have, it could spell serious problems for the economic future of the state. The preliminary data from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services shows that 104,166 people were born in 2020, while 117,087 people died. COVID drove those deaths root numbers up from years prior, with around 99,000 people died in the state last year. So they said we're at a point where we have to do something about it. Data shows that for decades, the number of births in the state has fallen, while the number of deaths have risen. The number of births in the state peaked in 1957, when more than 28,000 babies were born in the state, and while there have been years where the numbers rose since, and the overall trend has been a decline. Okay. Michigan once had automobile industry, did it not? Didn't call Detroit Motor City?
It did.
That city was a booming town. It was a nice town,
yes,
apparently.
Sir.
Now it's a slum. It's a hellhole. Murder, rape, disease, everything going on in Detroit. And Chicago, Chicago, of course, Chicago's Illinois, but they're joined together there almost. But you see these things happening, and you wonder, well, why? Why would people leave in the state? Well, that means Detroit's literally falling into ruin. They've taken away the economy from the state, which was at one time the automotive industry. They've taken the livelihood away from them. They've taken away the livelihoods of many states in this country. Took away the steel mills in places like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Took them away, emptied them out. They're nothing, Massey's and Hawks are nothing now. And I wonder why people leave in states. I mean, this is not rocket science. People have to eat. They got to make a living. When you take away the means of to feed the family, they got to go somewhere else, don't they?
They do.
So, yeah, it's going to mean something in the future for economic problems. When people aren't there to produce, that's just the way it is. It's going to hurt everybody in the long run. But this trend has been going on quite a while, and we see it happening right now. But anyway, go ahead.
I mean, all of these countries who their populations are declining. I mean, look at Germany. Look what they had to do. They had to bring in. They had to open up their borders, and I think that's what part of what's going on. They had to open up their borders and bring in all these immigrations for jobs, because in Japan, it's experiencing the same thing. So it is a problem when you don't, when you don't have those births to replace. And
you bring in different culture, different beliefs, and it causes a clash in the economy, causes trouble inside the nation. Yep, that's just the way it is.
I hear the music, so we're heading into the second break of the program. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What do you have next for us, Butch?
Well, this next article ties in about the Michigan issue about the population dying. This has finally come out in mainstream media. We've known it for years, not just Biden, but Obama and the rest of them, flying in illegal aliens to U.S. suburbs in down-low operation. And we know it's been going on for years.
Oh, and I folks, know, but you know what? If you see some of the... We never saw videos before.
No, we haven't.
I think.
No,
and these videos are amazing.
Folks, it's coming out. It's been going on for years. We talked about this program and different places for a long time. It's been happening for a long time, not just Biden. Don't blame Biden. They come in under Trump, too. So don't blame one politician, one party. But this is not done to bring in productive citizens. This is not being done in secret to bring in productive citizens. This has been done in secret to undermine the culture of this country, and it's working very, very well. President Joe Biden over the last year has been flying border crossers and illegal aliens to suburbs across the United States in a down-low operation by the Department of Homeland Security, federal contractors admit. They admit it. It isn't hidden. They admit it. We've known it for years, but they admit it. New release footage obtained by New York gubernatorial candidate Rob Astorano shows a flight chartered by Biden in August of 2021 where unaccompanied alien children can be seen being unloaded from the plane and into buses in Westchester, New York, from Port Bliss, Texas. Employees at the MVM Incorporated, a private company that contracts with the Biden administration to facilitate the relocation of border crossers and illegal aliens across the U.S., detail how the secretive operation is meant to be as down low as possible and to keep the chartered flights out of sight of Americans. Folks, are you hearing what we're saying right now? Do you understand how serious this is? It's going on for years under Bush, under Trump, under Obama. This isn't new. They're destroying this country by bringing in, from the inside up, bringing in illegal aliens, different cultures to undermine what's left in this country. And there are parts of New York City, Melody, that I was listening to the other day, to a gentleman or lady who used to live in New York State and live in a city, I think it's Brooklyn, I'm not really sure, New York City, went into the city where she grew up, and now they're wearing parkas, the long dresses and the hoods, and you know, they're praying three times a day facing the east in the streets. This is in New York. Folks, this has been done on purpose. Please understand this. Says MVM Incorporated scored a $136 billion federal contract from the Biden administration to facilitate the operation. MVM executives for years have donated tens of thousands of dollars to Democrats, including Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia and Bob Menendez of New Jersey. You don't want to be somewhere where the spotlight is there, an MVM Inc. employee told an officer with the Westchester County Police Department about why the Biden administration chooses small airports like the Westchester County Airport to transport border crossers and illegal aliens. The contractor added, you want to try to be as down low as possible. And folks, they are pretty low down. A lot of this is just down, is not just done low stuff. A lot of this is just done low stuff that we don't tell people because that's what we don't want to do is attract attention. We don't want the media. Like we don't even know where we're going when they tell us. I mean, this has been going on for a long, long time. Melody, you were called a conspiracy theorist, I'm sure, for saying it. I know I've been called things about issues like this. They call us all kinds of names. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But they finally come out in mainstream media, folks. You can go online and find this. They show the plane being unloaded. We've known it for years.
But now, and it's not women. And then it's not women and children.
No,
it's all men.
A battle-age man.
It's all men.
Yes.
Young men. They have ankle bracelets on. They use Ubers to take them to these flights. It really is amazing. And you're right, Butch. We knew this was going on for a long time. But there's just something about it this time.
Well, it's out in the open, finally. But my question is what are we going to do
so
about it?
It's so blatant, and nobody's saying anything about
that's
it.
I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Yes. Which senator did you hear
Our
talk
great
about
politicians.
It? Stop it? Yeah, where's all these hero patriots in the Capitol?
Exactly.
Where are they? And where are these hero governors that this ain't going to happen in our state any longer? I mean, where are they? Where are all these heroes that all-time champion American cause? It made headlines. People know it.
Well, we never had them. That was the...
That's the key. Not for a long, long time we haven't.
Yeah.
Wow. Any more comments on that?
No, that's all.
These articles, they get me a little bit fired up. But anyway, Biden says he warned Ukraine's President Zelensky during a call to prepare for impact and that Russian forces could sack Kiev. But the White House denies any new action, even if Fort Bragg's 82nd Airborne waits on standby. So they got the 82nd Airborne on standby. But they say they're not going to be using them. I don't understand all this, but I'll share it with you. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby revealed that troops from Fort Bragg, Fort Carson, and Fort Campbell are among 8,500 on heightened alert. Biden and Zelensky had a phone call Tuesday where the president reportedly told the Ukraine leader to brace for an imminent invasion. The Defense Department is preparing for a potential deployment into Europe. NATO and U.S. sent letters to Putin dismissing his main security demands around Ukraine amid fear of war. John Sullivan, America's man in Russia, was pictured delivering a letter by hand to Moscow late last night. Dmitry Peskov, Putin's spokesman, said there is little room for optimism as Russia considers its purpose or its response. Sergei Lavrov, Russia's top negotiator, left door to more talks open, but said decision will be put up to Putin. Ukrainian troops were pictured training with the British NLAW anti-tank weapons as they prepared for invasion. Now, I don't know. Is it happening? I don't know. But President Joe Biden reportedly told Ukraine President that on Thursday to brace his country for a certain Russian invasion. Biden told Zelensky that an invasion is virtually certain and prepared for impact, CNN reported. He said Kiev could be sacked by Russian forces. He reportedly said Ukraine would not be getting significantly more military help, including reiterating that no U.S. troops will be deployed there, nor would there be any preemptive sanctions on Russia or any progress with NATO. A Ukrainian official told CNN that the call between the two leaders did not go well. The warning was not part of a White House readout provided after the call, and the spokesperson for the National Security Council, Emily Holm, called CNN's reporting not true in a tweet. So I don't know, folks. I don't know. I mean, this just keeps going on and on and on. The two world leaders conversed on the phone as Department of Defense was issuing a chilling warning that same afternoon that Russian invasion of Ukraine could be imminent amid a drastic increase in combat forces at the former Soviet states' borders. I don't know what's happening there. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in there. It's making an awful lot of smoke. What's underneath it, I have no idea. But it's smoking like crazy. Melody, any comments on that?
No, it really is. And is it all because of the Olympics?
Who knows?
Is it all they're waiting and it's all time and everything is going to be timed around the Olympics? Really?
Yeah. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
I know.
It makes sense.
You know,
it makes sense.
Oh, we're not going to go to war. We're going to do the Olympics first. What do you think, Joe? Yeah, okay, Vlad. You know, we'll let you go. I don't know.
I mean, you know what? We're laughing about this, but whatever happens here, it's going to affect mm-hmm. you and me, everybody.
Right.
It's going to affect mm-hmm. the whole country. So, I mean, these people are
affect
playing
the world
with our lives.
With higher prices. Yep.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to cause that. It could cause food prices go up because Ukraine produces a lot of grain, a lot of food that it ships from the country to all over Europe. So, it's going to cause, it could already add to surging food costs, of course. But this was what gets me. These people are making moves that's going to affect the whole world.
Yeah.
And you can't trust either side. Who do you believe? Any comments on that?
No.
And Zelensky, reportedly Zelensky told the president, he said he wants to focus on the financial stability of this country, not war with Russia. So if this article is true, it was CNN, he's poo-pooing the fact that Russia's going to invade Ukraine. So he said he wants to work on financial stability in the Ukraine. I don't know. This is really strange. This is, it sounds like war, and it doesn't sound like war. And neither side is making a whole lot of sense that what we're seeing happen doesn't add up what they're saying is happening. So, I don't know. Maybe you got a better answer than I do.
No, I don't.
And we forgot about China and Taiwan. We shouldn't forget about them. China's ambassador to the U.S. warns a military conflict over Taiwan. Folks, this is not going away either. I was told several years ago that don't pay attention to Russia, watch China. Well, we'll see. China's ambassador to the United States issued a warning Thursday. Now, let me repeat that. Issued a warning Thursday. The U.S. could face military conflict with China over the future status of Taiwan. In his first one-on-one interview since assuming his post in Washington, D.C. last July, Qin Gang accused Taiwan of walking down the road towards independence and added, if the Taiwanese authorities emboldened by the United States keep going down the road for independence, it most likely will involve China and the United States, the two big countries, in a military conflict. It was an unusually direct statement about the U.S. and Taiwan. Observers say China usually speaks in more general terms, such as saying that the U.S. is playing with fire. Though American eyes may be focused thousand miles away toward the threatened war in Ukraine, U.S. officials and analysts have voiced increasing concern about Taiwan's ability to defend itself. This week, 39 Chinese military aircraft flew near Taiwan, the latest of several such demonstrations. It's widely believed that the U.S. would defend Taiwan in the event of war, but no foreign treaty requires it to do so. Even if America said the world defend you, I wouldn't trust America. I would not trust them to have my back at all. We've proven it to be true in many cases. We pulled out of Vietnam, and I remember that because I was part of that. In 75, we pulled out of Afghanistan, just pulled out, left, boom, going. Why would I trust somebody who deserved their so-called friends in the past? Melody, wouldn't you think that most nations are leery of the U.S. now?
I mean, I don't know what most nations think of the U.S. anymore, but they should have, if they look back at history and see how we behaved and how we've broken our promises, you know, you would think they would think differently, but, you know, it all comes down to, you know, I don't know. I don't know how the rest of the world looks at the U.S. anymore.
Well, you know, they certainly don't take this as serious as they used to. America, one time, we were looked up to as being like a light on a hill, weren't we? We fed our own people. We fed most of the world.
I remember when we traveled to Europe, 10 years ago? We were told, if anybody asks if you're American, tell them you're Canadian.
Really?
You were supposed to tell people you were Canadian. Yeah. You got treated better.
Well, that is what we're seeing. When I was, I wasn't a world traveler when I was in the military, 67 to 71, with the uniform traveling, of course, all over the world, different places I went. Always treated with respect, pretty much respect everywhere I went. I mean, we were Americans, and They did respect us. But I'm sure that's all changed since then. And I'm sure it's changed a lot since then. And I can understand why. We no longer produce our own goods. We can't feed ourselves. We're the most indebted nation in the world. We've turned our backs on allies in the past. Why would they trust us today? Why do they even fight to come here except to get on welfare? I don't know. They don't come here anywhere, I don't think, as a whole. Some of them do, I'm sure, to get ahead and build a business, whatever. But most of them come here today just get to be taken care of. And that's what's happening.
Well, there is a lot of good people. I mean, I know a woman. She's actually from Iran. And she says the people of Iran are wonderful. It's the government that's so bad.
Sure.
And she loves America. And she says she doesn't understand Americans anymore because they are letting so many things go
happen.
That they're letting things go by. She says America, and you know, so foreigners, I mean, but they work. These are people who come here and work.
Yeah, they got come
they're
to work.
They're not looking for
exactly.
a handout. And
exactly.
they appreciate America. They appreciate the freedom. And maybe you don't appreciate the freedom anymore unless you come from a country that doesn't have it. I don't know. But
well, what's the old saying? You don't miss the water till the well goes dry, right?
Yeah. True.
You know, that's the way it is. And then we're heading in that situation. Folks, I didn't even have any good news today. I'm sorry. I should have brought something in for good news, but I didn't.
Your governor was good
this
news.
Weekend. Governor, good news. I have to give him. I am going to remember later. I'm going to write him a thank you for telling Bit to kiss the hiney. You know, I really that really tickled me. So anyway, folks, just give Melody a call and talk to her. Prepare yourself, please. I don't know what's coming in the future. This is like a watching a bunch of children play with a loaded gun. It scared me to death. And what's going to happen here? Who's going to get shot? But anyway,
We're out of time, so I want to make sure everyone stay safe, stay warm, and we'll be back on Monday. Until then, good night, and God bless. That's too bad.